If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're preaching through the book of Ephesians, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The first part of Ephesians, Paul tells us who we are in Christ. And the outline of Ephesians is called sit, walk, stand. You sit in who God made you to be, and that's a child of God. We talked about how God made you his son and daughter and made you part of his family and saved you and all the things that God did for you. But now we got to walk that out. We've got to walk out who God made you to be. And this morning, I'm just going to be honest, we're going to deal with a couple of tough issues. But we're going to get, and so I say this because we're not coming at you today because, you know, I preach through books of the Bible. I don't ever come loaded. You know what I mean? I don't ever get irritated by saying come and preach at you. Next week, I'm going to preach Ephesians 5, verses 21 through the rest of the chapter. You just know every week where I'm going, right? So this morning, we want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And really, it tells us three things. Number one, it tells us to live a life of love. Paul starts in verse 1 of chapter 5 by saying, being an imitator of Jesus, living a life of love. And so who's our model in the Christian faith? I'm glad I'm not your model. I'm glad televangelists aren't your model. Jesus is our example of living a life of love. And Paul tells us how to live a life of love here. Number two is, it does say that God will judge disobedience in his family. He's not talking about outsiders. He's not talking about people who are far from God. He's talking to insiders, people who say they've given their life to Jesus. They're part of a church. But now think about that. If you have children, you discipline your children, right? A good parent disciplines their child. Your heavenly Father will discipline you as well. Then the third thing it says to do is make wise choices. To make wise choices. That if you want to be a part of the family of God, if you want to walk out your faith, you got to live a life of love. You've got to understand that God will judge and discipline disobedience. And number three is make wise decisions. Make wise choices in your life. And it tells us how to do that. So let's jump in. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 1. It says, imitate God. Again, who's your example? Who are we following? We're followers of Jesus. He's our example. And in everything you do, because you're his children, live a life filled with love. That's the first characteristic of God. God is loving. And we, as children of God, ought to be known by our love. Jesus says people will know you're his disciples, how we love one another, how we love each other, the church. Following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a what? A sacrifice. So loving someone is not what you can get from them, but what you can give to them. One of the reasons we want you to be a contributor to the family of God, because if you love the church, if you love the bride of Christ, it's not just what you receive from the bride, it's what you can give to it. To be a contributor, to sacrifice, to give your time, your talent, and your treasure as a pleasing aroma to God. Now look at verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you, for such sins have no place among God's people. Obscure stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, they are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Now let's look and see what that means. Number one is there should be no sexual immorality among the family of God. Sexual immorality means any sex outside of marriage. The Bible says any sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. Now marriage defined the Bible as one man married to one woman and they stay married the rest of their life as the biblical standard. Marriage is one man, one woman. So any sex outside of marriage, the Bible says is sin. Number two is impurity. And that word can mean unclean or moral filth. It includes pornography and indecency. The third thing he says shouldn't be mentioned among God's people is greed. And that's lust for money, or really it means the constant desire for more. A greedy person is always wanting more, 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 more. It says, such sins shall not have any place among God's people. Then it says, obscene stories. And that means dirty stories, dirty joking, cursing, obscenity. As Christians, we don't curse. Our language ought to be different than the world's language. There's certain words we just choose not to use and not to say. There's certain jokes we choose not to say, not to use. Then he uses the word foolish talk. That just means empty talk. Literally, that word foolish means empty or to put no thought. Sometimes I look at social media and that's just foolish talk. It's just meaningless. We don't get involved in foolish talk. Or coarse joking. What's the difference between obscene stories and coarse joking? Well, coarse joking can mean you're saying something with a hidden message or innuendo. It can mean racist language or crude language. You know, racism has no place in the family of God. Would you agree with me? And a racist joke or a racist comment should never be mentioned among the people of God. Then he says this, that no immoral, and this is hard, so stay with me, no immoral or greedy or impure person will inherit the kingdom of God. What does Paul mean by that? What the Bible teaches is, now, it's not teaching eternal insecurity, that if you stump your toe and say a bad word, God doesn't leave you and you're going to hell. That's not what that means. What it does mean that if you live in consistent, persistent sin, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as your pastor, I've got to preach the Bible. It says consistent, persistent sin. That as a believer, you do not continue in those sinful behaviors. Now, racism and sexual morality and purity and cursing, all that's mentioned together. If we do those things on a consistent, persistent basis, without repenting of those things, it says we will not inherit the kingdom of Christ or of God. He says a greedy person is an idolater. They're worshiping things other than God and things of this world. Now look at me. Verse 6. Look at this. Don't be fooled by those who are excusing these sins. So what Paul is saying here, some people will say, well, it's okay to do those things. And Paul says, don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled about excusing these sins, for the anger of God will fall upon those who disobey him. Now, we love to talk about the first part of chapter 5, the love of God. Sometimes we struggle talking about the anger of God. We have a hard time in our mind understanding why God would get angry. But again, if you're a parent or a grandparent, I think you can understand this. Because you know what? Anything that comes to my children and grandchildren that will separate them from God or cause them harm, I get angry at that and attack that and want to get that out of my kid's life, don't you? But God's anger, he looks at you. He loves you so much. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be all who God calls you to be and do all what God calls you to do. Therefore, if there's something in your life that's destroying you or separating from him, the Bible says God gets angry at that and he attacks it. Not because he wants to get rid of you. He wants to get rid of the junk in your life that messes you up. He says, God will, look at this, don't participate in these things that people do. For you once were in darkness. You once lived like that, but now you have the light from God inside of you. So live as people of light. And that's what Paul is saying here. You used to live that way, but once you commit to your life, you put that stuff away. We talked about that way. You put off those things and you begin to live for God. You change. Repentance is not just about being sorry for what you do and not wanting to go to hell and going to heaven. Repentance means you now agree with the word of God, and the way that you used to live, you do a U-turn and you walk in the opposite direction. You don't keep doing what you used to do. You change. And remember, the first sample was live a life of love. If you love someone, you don't curse around them. If you love someone, you don't give racist jokes. If you love someone, you don't sleep with them outside of marriage. You marry them. That's love. If you love someone, you're not on pornography. See, living a life of love is not what you just do for people. There's things I don't do because I love Kathy. And I know my participation in those things would cause her pain. More than that, we talked about last week, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We could cause God to become sad by the way we live. Well, we talked about that last week. And listen, I don't stop doing things because I fear judgment, even though judgment is part of the Scripture. I stop doing those things because I love God and I want to please Him. So I just want to encourage you, as your pastor, if you're at a certain point in your relationship, and you know what I'm talking about, pursue marriage. Pursue marriage. As your pastor, I'll be honored to perform your ceremony. We love you here as a church enough. I pray so much for this sermon because I don't want to come across angry. I want to come across loving. We want God's best for you. God wants His best for you. So if you're at a point in a relationship, and again, I'm not going to get, you know what I'm talking about. Pursue marriage. Start thinking about, is it time to get married? And if it's not, then the Bible says you abstain from that activity until marriage. That's the biblical standard. That's not, I didn't write it. That's the biblical standard. Don't believe the excuse that you can live this way and God just winks at it and you can live in God's blessing and still live in sin. Friends, listen, the pathway of disobedience will never bring you to the blessing of God. You'll never experience God's best if you're walking in disobedience to Him. Some of you need to maybe change your language. Some of you need to think how you speak about different races or ethnic groups. All that, the Bible says, to put off. It's not loving. Our standard is it loving? If it's not loving, we do away with it. We walk the other way. We do that U-turn and turn. The Bible says you've got a light inside of you. The Holy Spirit moved inside of you. You get saved. So live like children of light. Verse 9, for this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. That's how we should live. Is it good? Is it right? And is it true? Then look at verse 10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. We talked about last week, we don't ask, is it sin? We don't ask, how close to the world can I get and still be saved? That's the wrong question. We ask, how can I get as close as God as possible? That's the standard. I want to live my life in a way that I believe if you're here this morning, you want to live as close to God as possible. So he says, be carefully determined what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless ease of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful to even talk about what the ungodly people do in secret. And one of the things that grew our nation, things that we used to be embarrassed to talk about, we now throw parades for. And that is wrong. And America will be judged for that. The anger of God will come upon us when we celebrate things the Bible says are wrong. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For light makes everything visible. Friends, if you're living in disobedience, you may be thinking you're getting away from it. But eventually God's light will shine on you. And it exposes what we do in dark. So like he said, verse it says, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Paul's saying, if you're living in disobedience, if you're doing things you know the Bible says is wrong, wake up. And this morning as your pastor, wake up. Recognize that is not the pathway of blessing. That is not honoring to God. A person that has the light of God inside of them will not continue in those behaviors. That one day God will judge those sinful behaviors. And look at the next. Verse 15. So be careful how you live. Paul's telling all of us today, live with wisdom. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like wise. Make the most of opportunities in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Well, how do I know what God wants me to do? Your Bible. That's why we give away one-year Bibles and encourage you to read. Because as you read God's Word, you'll begin to learn what God wants you to do. He says, put thought in your life. Know the Word of God. Be part of our school of the Bible. We do a devotional every morning on the one-year Bible reading. Get into the Word of God, because that's how you discover what God wants you to do. And that's how you discover what God's will and standards are. Then look at verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Drunkenness, the abuse of alcohol, will destroy your life. I told you we're going to talk about some things today. Do you know most people who commit violent crimes, I'm not talking about the victim, I'm talking about the person doing the violent crime, do so under the influence of alcohol? That liquid courage. Most men who rape a woman, when they rape that woman, they're under the influence of alcohol. Paul says drunkenness will ruin your life. DUIs. How many of you ever seen someone who, when they're not sober, act in ways that are just stupid? Right? Paul says, don't do that. Don't get drunk on wine, but he says this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What Paul's saying here is don't be filled with alcohol, be filled with God. Now, notice that word filled means to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let me explain this. I think we could understand it. We at different times could have different levels of the Holy Spirit in our life. Have there been times you felt really, really close to God? And maybe other times you felt distant? This is actually a command here. Paul says, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about your salvation. He's talking about people who are already saved. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. So we're not talking about losing your salvation there. We're talking about your closeness to God. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means it's possible to be a believer and to go to heaven, but not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would Paul tell you to be filled with the Holy Spirit if it's not possible not to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Make sense? And Paul says, don't be drunk on wine. Don't be filled with alcohol, which makes you act goofy. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which empowers you to be the person God would have you to be and to do what God's called you to do. So again, my question as your pastor today is, are you full of the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm asking if you're saved, are you continuously filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you're not, at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to come down and be prayed for and to be continually full of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've hit some hard points, right? Look at verse 19. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, he's talking to the church, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. One of the ways to be full of the Holy Spirit is through singing. Now, how many of you, God created us all, right? God's the creator. How many of you have things you wish God would have spent a little extra time on you, right? There's two main things I wish God would have done for me. One, I love basketball. I wish I was taller. And I wish I could jump. And I can't do either one. God made me short, and I can't hardly get off the ground. I cannot sing. I love music. You never hear me sing, because if I sang, nobody would come. Thank God for Pastor Hannah and our worship. I wish God would have given me a better singing voice. And I cannot play a musical instrument for the life of me. I'm horrible. Remember when I was in school, they had those little flutophones, those little black things, you know what I'm talking about? How many remember those? I don't think they do that anymore. How many remember those? I even flunked that in elementary school. Like, teachers looked at me like, you have no hope. No hope whatsoever. I don't play the radio well, much less any musical instrument, right? So sometimes, I'm just being honest, singing in church is awkward for me. The first thing that I'm concerned about is no one next to me is going to hear me. Because I don't want anybody here. Maybe it's pride, but I don't want anyone hearing me. I want the sound to be loud enough that if I sing, you can't hear it, right? But yet, the Bible says we're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among ourselves and make music to the Lord in your hearts. God created human beings Music's one of the ways, singing is one of the ways we express our love. We love, you know, Marvin Gaye, right? We like Marvin Gaye. Tony Bennett, they sing love songs, right? Throughout human history, men and women have written love songs to each other. It's the way we express our love. It's how God created us. And I want to encourage you, if you're like me, and maybe you can't sing very good, and maybe you're not very musical, don't allow that to prevent you from worshiping God when we have singing. Get past it. Now, if you don't sing well, don't sing loud. I do you a favor by not doing that. Today, when we're doing the ministry fair, the worship and productions on there, if you can't sing, don't volunteer. You can be in production, but we really don't want you to. You know, I'm being honest, right? God's gift talented us. There's certain things I'm good at, certain things I'm not good at. But one of the ways to be filled with the Holy Spirit is through singing. Don't miss that. Then look at this, verse 20. And give thanks for everything to God. In the name of the Father and Son. Notice it said give thanks for everything, not in everything. There's some things I've gone through I'm not thankful in. But no matter how hard life can get, I can keep my thankfulness to God, even when it's hard. God doesn't tell you to be thankful for everything that happens to you. He tells you that no matter what's happened to you, keep an attitude of gratitude. Because how many of you know there's always someone worse off than you? How many of you know that no matter how hard life gets, there's somebody in this world that's suffering greater than you are? And I can be thankful even in the hard times of life of saying, God, I'm going to keep an attitude of gratitude. So today Paul tells us three things. Number one, live a life of love. Live a life of love. And when you're doing something, you need to ask, is this loving? Before you say something, you need to ask, is this loving? Before you post something, you ask, is this loving? Love is our standard. Paul said from the very beginning, imitate Jesus by living a life of love. Number two, God is a God of love, but he loves you enough, he'll judge disobedience. And again, we're just preaching the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We need to understand what the Bible says and what the standards are. And if you have got things in your life that Paul has talked about here, don't continue in it. Don't continue in it. Do that U-turn. Get right with God, okay? Number three, be wise. The Bible says, live your life carefully. Understand what God's will is. Get into the Word of God and understand what His standard is. And live your life by His standard, not the world's standards. Paul says, don't be fooled by those who excuse sin. I don't care what the standard is in our culture concerning sex. Our standard is determined by what? The Bible. That's our standard. Don't be fooled by those excuses. Pornography. The Bible says it's sinful. It's evil. I personally believe it opens us up to demonic activity in our life. When we look at that and bring that into our system, go by the Word of God, not by what the world says is okay. Amen? I know today's been a little rough, but we're committed to preaching all the Bible, not just the parts we like. Amen? And I hope you know, as your pastor, I prayed hard this week. You can ask the staff, we even talked, I go, I want to preach the truth in a loving way. If you've got alcohol in your life, is it ruining your life? Is it wise? Is the use of alcohol wise in your life? Don't be drunk on wine. Don't be filled with alcohol, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, I want to encourage you, the best thing you can do in your life is be full of and controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen? Worship team, would you come? Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes.
Prayer team, you can come on forward. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, my first opportunity this morning is if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. Paul was writing to the church. He was writing to Christians. We talked about sexual morality and all these things. He wasn't talking about non-believers. He was talking to believers, saying, hey, don't keep living that way. When Paul was talking about racism and coarse joking, all that stuff, he wasn't talking to non-believers. He was talking to believers, saying, hey, that stuff has no part in the family of God. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. He was talking to believers here. But if you're here today, you've not become a Christian, today could be your day. And I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you would just be honest, with every head bowed, no one looking around, Pastor, I need to accept Christ as my Savior today. Would you raise your hand real high? Is there anyone here today? You know you're not ready to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. Is there anybody? Okay. Here's my second question. Keep your head bowed and eye closed. You're a believer. You're going to heaven. But you know there's things in your life that ought not be there. Maybe something that Paul mentioned in Ephesians 5, or maybe something else. And you would be honest with me as your pastor and say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ, but there's sin in my life. And you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. And you want prayer. I want you to raise your hand. Would you raise your hand real high right now? I see that hand. Anyone else? You know, Pastor, I'm not living like I ought to be living. I'm not living a God-pleasing life. I'm not living wisely. I see things in my life. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. It takes courage to raise your hand. I see it. You can put it down. Anyone else? It takes courage to raise your hand. Pastor, I know there's things in my life that just ought not be there. It ought not be there. Anyone else? I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? It's been three that says, yeah, I'm saved. I don't need to be saved, but man, I need to get clean. I know that I'm living in disobedience. Anyone else this morning, raise your hand really high. The Holy Spirit is sweet here this morning, isn't he? We're not in a hurry. Anybody else? Pastor, I got some cleaning up to do. I got some things I could get right with God today. I don't want to leave here those things still in my life. I know that the anger of God will judge it someday, and I don't want to be that way. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand. Maybe some who didn't. God, if there's anyone here that's living a life of disobedience today, we confess that to you. We admit that it's wrong. God, we don't want to live a life of sexual morality. We don't want to live a life of dirty jokes or racism. God, we want none of that to be a part of us. We want to live a life that's pleasing to God. We want to get closer to God. So this morning, we admit it's sin. We ask that you forgive us. And we commit to the power of the Holy Spirit to live a God-pleasing, God-honoring life. God-pleasing, God-honoring life. That's our desire. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.